Good morning. We thank you for tuning in to our radio program today. This program is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Parkway Church of Christ here in Bowling Green. Our physical location is 125 Hilltopper Avenue. We meet there at that location each Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for Bible classes, and then together in the auditorium at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings. We invite in 7 o'clock for Bible study on Wednesday evenings, and we welcome you to come and meet with us and study along with us. Our interest is in finding out what the Scriptures say, what they mean, and so sometimes we may spend time at a little deeper level examining the meanings of various terms, Greek words, or maybe a Hebrew word from time to time, in order to make sure that we know exactly what we're being told, in order to understand what is the will of God. You know, Paul gave instructions in Ephesians 5 when he said, find out what pleases the Lord. Ephesians 5:10, find out what pleases. We ought to do that. We ought to appreciate the importance of finding out what pleases God. The only way that we can know is to consult His instructions, His Word. That is the only way we can know. And that's why it becomes important that we appreciate the fact that the Bible is from God. I've recently written an article on an evidence passage, or evidences passage, back in Psalm 139. Any of you in the listening audience who are interested in various articles that I write from time to time, be sure and let me know. You can send an email to timhale@me.com. timhale@me.com. And I'll put you on my articles list. I don't send out many articles. I do writing sometimes that I don't publish. Writing that maybe will be useful for something later that I'm working on. And sometimes, though, I'll see something that is important enough and something that others have not addressed. I don't have any interest in just rehashing or rewriting what others regularly write on basic topics. But sometimes there'll be something that I have realized that others have not addressed. And in cases like that, we need to know. And we need to appreciate the fact that the Bible is inspired, and so these evidences passages become extremely important for things like that. But let me know if you would be interested in signing up for the articles list. I want this morning to take a look at some passages that teach us that sometimes behavior or attitudes in a certain area are not limited to just one application or one area. They can bleed over and impact what we do and how we affect the lives of others. And it seems like a lot of people, this live and let live mentality has now resulted in this thinking that people ought to just be free without any criticism at all, to do whatever and say whatever they want without anyone giving any feedback or any response. And sometimes you'll see someone sort of break out of the rut and just go ahead and say what obviously needs to be said. This last week I've seen a couple of instances of this. And one was a politician, Vivek Ramaswamy, who was asked a question by someone who claimed to be a pansexual. And he gave a great answer that incorporated the principle of free agency, but then still said what needed to be said about the rights of those and the protection of the speech rights of those who might disagree with what this questioner was asking and where she was going, what she was implying by the question. So we saw that. We saw a country singer who was basically unknown have a song, and I regret that it is filled with some foul language, but the message of it is nonetheless good, and it went straight to the top of the songs list, the music list this week, and really it was a rebellion song. It really was a song about a protest song. speaking out against corruption. And these things have made me think a little bit about doing a radio program on this, and I want to connect those dots a little bit today. So we'll be getting here to the scriptures. The first passage I thought of that would really fit where I wanted to go with this had to do with political officials. Some people just seem to think that it does not matter what the character of a political leader or would-be leader, or sometimes you'll have whole families of people that get involved in politics and become very effective in what they do and influencing people, and it sort of snowballs because they get to be also very rich, and power comes with that money, and all of a sudden their entire families become powerful. And we see this quite commonly. It happens all of the time. And, you know, we used to wonder why it is that some countries tolerated the idea of a royal kingship where it just was passed down through the families. Well, this is how it happens. That power is acquired and people become incapable of resisting what the family does. You know, it's almost like mob-like with mobster families and the power that they acquire as a result of their influences and threats of violence and other things. So it works the same way in politics, it always has. So I got to thinking about a passage that might fit this because, like I said, some people think there is a total disconnect between the moral behavior of someone and their views on things, their what we might call private views or personal views, but the views that they then express to others about what they believe and how they affect other people, that there's some disconnect between those two things. There is not. We need to appreciate this. Back in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 18, we remember that Moses had sort of drifted into a position of where he had people from morning until evening, we're told in verse 13 of Exodus 18, coming to him with even very small issues, small matters, that had to be adjudicated, and Moses found himself in a position where all of his time was spent dealing with these little trivial issues, and it was, according to a later passage, wearing him out, wearing him down physically. And his father-in-law, Jethro, came to him and said, you know what, you don't need to be doing this. You need to be focused upon making known the statutes of God and his laws. What you're doing, he said in verse 17, is not good. You're going to wear yourself out, he said in verse 18. And so he had some advice for Moses and how that they could divide and separate the work out. He could appoint people who would deal with the smaller, more trivial matters. And then you could deal, he said, with the statutes and laws and make them know the way that they must go, verse 20, and what they must do. Okay, now how will you do that? Well, you know, we think today about many people in high positions. We think about Hunter Biden, for example. I think a lot of people have just reached the conclusion that it didn't matter what he did, that corruptions in his personal life or in his business life, and they say, you know, none of that has anything to do with us. And then his father just basically excuses him. But just basically excuses him. The Department of Justice has so far basically excused him. They says, oh no, I saw in the news the other day that they appointed a special prosecutor that will have more latitude. But it's the same prosecutor. They've been dealing with him for 5 years. And who has helped him for the past 5 years. So, no, there's some corruption there in that. And how does this affect people? Well, it has an effect on people. It has an effect on political positions that are held. It has an effect on whether or not there's equal justice under the law. What it means is that if you are sympathetic to a certain family, that becomes, as some I think have rightly described the Biden family, a crime family. And you support them, you send money to them, and you stand with them, and you never oppose to them, never question what they do, then you're not going to have to worry about legal people trying to do anything to you legally or come after you in some way. That's where we are in our country today. Jethro had a solution to this problem. Now, I wish everyone in government today, I wish everyone who votes today, I wish everyone who is involved in keeping up with how leadership affects the society of that they lead, civil leaders, I wish every one of them would read this verse of Scripture and think real hard about it. It is in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21. So after suggesting to Moses that he, you know, just do the big things, the statutes, and do the teaching and show people what they must do, he said, moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy, and hate a bribe. And hate a bribe. You know, it's amazing how many times in the Old Testament instructions are given throughout the law about the dangers of people taking bribes. And what does the bribe do? Well, it affects your objectivity. The bribe makes people lose their objectivity. Their judgment is skewed. They're applying a law in a prejudicial way because they've been affected by the money or whatever form it may be in that they have received. That's why the bribe is so dangerous. But we see bribery all the time. And we see it in the upper echelons of government today. I'll never forget one time I knew a preacher who did some work in a certain part of Africa that was corrupt. Just civilly, legally corrupt there. And he said, everything you do is done for a bribe. Everything you want done. There's something you want done in government, there's going to have to be money under the table. It's all done for a bribe. He said, you can't even get your electricity turned on without bribing the power company. In other words, the whole culture had become affected by this. And now it became basically a way of doing business. Sort of an economic plan. Corruption. Just absolute bribery and corruption. But I want to look at these all. He said, moreover, look for men who are able. Able men. Able men. Today, it seems like if you have a certain name, or if you take a certain liberal position on things, it doesn't matter what your capability is. We've got a structure set up that seems to favor certain people based upon a gender preference or based upon skin color or other factors, ethnicity, and not based upon ability. What did he say here? You're going to need leaders. If you're going to have leaders who will be effective and will help the whole overall society, they are going to have to be capable. They need to be able to do this work. Secondly, he said, men who fear God. Now, friends, you can read this verse today in the context of our modern culture, godless culture, and almost, you know, some people would just giggle a little bit. They would just laugh. Why does it say men who fear God? I'm going to tell you, explain to you. And most in this listening audience don't need this explained, but this will be a reminder for you, and then you can help explain this to other people, why this is critical. Why it is critical. People who do not have a fear of a higher power, and they think of themselves as being God, that is, they maybe are just humanist. They've subscribed to the Darwinist theory that man is really God. That man is the ultimate power, not ultimate intellect. And that we are fully capable by ourselves of doing things, coming up with plans and laws, or ways of implementing laws, even if the ways are corrupt, maybe if they're based upon bribery, like we see today in our too many times in our culture. And people don't appreciate why you need someone who believes in a higher power. The person who believes that he's answerable to God is going to be far more careful about how he does his work. He's going to be far, he or she, going to be far more conscientious. Because they know they're being watched. They know that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's the statement in Hebrews 4 and verse 13. Are the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the good and the evil, over in Proverbs 15:3. Many verses like that in the Bible. Those make the point, though. The point that we need to appreciate for Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21. Men who fear God are men who don't think of themselves as being the ultimate power or the ultimate standard. The ultimate moral or ethical standard. You cannot have that. Adolf Hitler thought that way. Once you get to the point where you think you are the ultimate moral standard, then you get to do whatever you want to do. Your ethic is your personal ethic. You're going to feel good about it no matter what it is. You're going to justify it no matter what it is. And that's exactly where too many politicians are today. They reach this apex, this zenith of power and position, and they just feel like they're not answerable to anyone. They get to do whatever they want to do. They can lie, they can cheat, they can steal, they can defraud, they can buy justice. And it's really not justice in that case, because it's what we read here, bribery. But we need people who fear God. That way, it's a built-in safeguard that they are going to be careful what they do to other people. They're going to be careful how they supervise other people, how they legislate over other people, how they judge other people. You take a judge, for example, and Jesus talked about a judge who did not fear God or man, but there was a certain woman that came to him making a plea to him, pled with him for justice for a wrong that had been committed against her. And though he didn't have any regard for her, yet because of her incessant pleading, he finally dealt with the matter. Now that's an interesting story that Jesus told. And the reason it's interesting, because he's setting it up there, of course, to serve as a prayer passage and the importance of prayer, but we can immediately in that parable relate to this idea of an unjust judge. This is the first part of Luke chapter 18, in case you want to take notes or want to look in your Bible quickly at what I'm talking about here. The point of it was that men ought to pray, but the emphasis here is upon this unjust God who feared not God or nor regarded man. But he felt compelled to act because of the persistence of the woman that kept pleading with him. But we have people today who are like that. Now, what if there's no forum for a constant complaint? They can just ignore you. They will simply do what they want to do. We need people who do fear God, not like the unjust judge of Luke 18. But notice he said, who are trustworthy. They fear God, they're capable, and they are trustworthy. Now, what is the significance of someone being trustworthy? Well, you think of someone in whom you can place confidence and someone who will respect you. As someone who will not betray you, someone who will be loyal in their position. So not only are they capable, but they're trustworthy in their position. That people like that are hard to find. Once you find people like that, now Jethro would go on to say you can make them, set them over the people as chiefs of thousands and of hundreds and fifties and of tens. So there was a graduating scale of this, and all of this was designed to help Moses in making these judgments for the people, of course. That's the context here. But we can certainly relate to this in politics where you have a massive bureaucracy. What if you had people like this at the head of each one of the layers of government? Now, we don't according to Romans 13, we don't need massive government. The Bible actually teaches a very small government, limited government, that is focused upon punishing those who do what is evil and rewarding those who do what is right. Verses 3 and 4 of Romans 13, Paul would even go on to say that this is why you pay your taxes. He did not say you pay your taxes so money goes to an organization like Planned Parenthood that executes little unborn people, little babies. We don't do that. He doesn't authorize that there. He authorizes a limited government that punishes those who do what is right and rewards those who do what is good, those who actually support and help and are productive in society. That's what the Bible teaches about that. And I often point out it's not just Paul in Romans 13, but it's Peter also in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verses 13 and 14 that echoes the sentiments of Paul in Romans 13. The Bible, there's corroboration on this. You have the inspired Apostle Paul, the inspired Apostle Peter, both of them teaching precisely the same thing. And, of course, very similar with what we're reading all the way back over here from the mouth of Jethro in Exodus chapter 18. We need people who are trustworthy. What else will that involve? Well, they'll be trustworthy if they fairly apply the law. If they fairly and equally prosecute. It's amazing today how some people get away with all sorts of crimes. And some are just not prosecuted. It may be because of their skin color. It may be because of ideology. What does that do to other people? This fella with his protest song this past week about the rich men in Richmond reminded me of this. It makes people angry. It makes people disillusioned. It makes people begin to wonder if the system is right, if it even can be supported. Friends, I'm going to tell you right now, and this is always scares people. I've had some people get a little upset with me over this. But if you were to read and apply with conviction the principles in Romans 13 about God-ordained government, He ordained not some specific personnel, not some specific leader, not some specific president, but the form of government. He legislated the type of government, the function of government. The function of government. That's what He legislated. And I know people get a little uncomfortable with that. But you know, people will sometimes say, well, how far do we go in supporting a corrupt government? Well, I tell people it can get pretty easy for us to answer that. If you have a government that gets to the point where it's executing innocent people, that gets to the point where you cannot support it. And people say, oh, you're just talking about abortion. Well, what if they carried this principle on and said, you know what, we don't like what so-and-so is saying about us on the radio. We need to execute all of these people. We need to execute them. When a government gets to that point, you know then. When your neighbors start being executed because they're saying things that the government is uncomfortable with, you know you have a government that has gone too far. But anyway, Paul talked about a government that punishes those who do wrong and rewards those who do right. Let's move on here. So we need trustworthy leaders. Jethro is right about that. And he says, and that hate a bribe. That hate a bribe. The law of Moses gave instructions about fairness in administering the laws. You read about this over in Exodus chapter 23. And one of the principles that he talks about here is the equal application of law. Whether a person is wealthy, they should not be despised because of their wealth, or whether a person is poor, they should not be despised because of they are poor. But the law, if you have a law that says you shall not steal, that theft is wrong, then it ought to be wrong for those who are poor and those who are wealthy. It ought to be equally applied. Equal, fair application of law and justice. That's what we call justice when you have a situation like that. But there are warnings about taking bribes. And take note, what does he say in Exodus 23 and verse 8? Now, this is the old King James Version. Thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. What does he mean by that? The gift blinds people. It blinds people to the law. And thus they do not feel inclined to make a fair application of the law. If you had a jury of people, and somehow someone gets to them with bribes, what are they liable to do? If you are paid to either tell a lie or not tell the truth as a witness, what does that do with regard to the application of justice? Well, it corrupts it. It can derail it. When jurors, there have been big cases where jurors, there are a lot of movies based upon this premise, about jurors being bribed. They found out later that the jury pool had been corrupted with bribery. The jurors are going to, they're going to deliberate and they're going to find in favor of a person who needs to be indicted. But they're going to say, oh no, we don't see any proof that he committed this crime. And why? Because they've been bribed. Someone paid them $1 million to judge this in the favor of the person who's being prosecuted. In the favor of someone who may deserve the death penalty for what they've done. That's what he's talking about in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 8. We need today to incorporate some of these principles in our judicial system for fairness to people. We need leaders who do not take bribes. What have we been seeing over the past couple of years in our country talked about over and over and over? I know that some of the more liberal news agencies and organizations don't cover it like others do. But we've seen this happen with Hunter Biden. And people can buy approval or help. And that's what's going on. We need to stop and think about what Jethro said about our civil leaders. They need to be people who are able, not just someone who has a position because of who their family members are. They need to be able to do it. They need to be people who fear God. They need to be people who are trustworthy and do not take a bribe. That would get us going a long way to fixing some major problems right now that exist right now in our country. You know, you get into the New Testament, the book of Acts, and you see something quite similar to this in Acts chapter 12, when the case of Herod and his attitude towards the justice system, and his view of himself. Herod, and we read in Acts chapter 12 and verse 20 that he was highly displeased with those of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with him with one accord, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. Ah, they got something from the government. And so what will be their view of that leader of that country? Yeah. Boy, when a government gives things to people, you can really buy them. The government can be guilty of bribery. Jethro said you need men who do not take a bribe, are not affected by bribes, but sometimes the government personnel will bribe other people for their support. You remember that Herod gave this great speech, and the people gave a shout and said, it's the voice of God and not a man. And rather than rebuke them for that, Herod's head swelled up. Oh, he thought he was God. What we read in the next verse? Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Didn't go too well for him. Back in the days of direct miraculous interference by God. Our time is up today. We thank you for listening. Hope you'll tune in next week for another study. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day.